Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Welcome back to this very special episode of Blue Collar BS with your hosts, Brad and
Steve.
And what makes this episode so special is it's episode 100.
Woo-hoo! We've made it to 100.
Episode 100. Holy shit.
I know, right? What a journey.
Think about the year and a half of the planning to launch this damn thing. All the apprehension. All of the, what are we going to do? Why will we do this? How are we going to do it? All the other stuff. And then we just hit the goddamn button. And next thing you know, we're just went to episode 100.
It's yeah, like, wow. Absolutely. We just decided to go. So it was like, let's go. Finally got out of our own way. So it's kind of good.
Right. Get out of your own way. That is a theme that we see with our clients on a regular basis.
Exactly. And,
been a very interesting, let's see, March of 21, I think, is when we released originally.
Roughly,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And we started out as an every other week show. And we went weekly, I believe, in July of 23. So we haven't even been weekly for a year yet.
Right.
But we've had amazing people on our journey along the way. We've got to meet some great people and have some conversations and develop some really cool relationships and networking opportunities to collaborate. So
right.
I guess I'm going to ask you first, Mr. Doyle, which one of the episodes did you do? Yeah, because you don't remember shit. Which one of the shows in your mind or right now do you want to talk about?
So let's take our audience kind of way back. Back to episode 13, my good buddy, Josh Clymer, who's the, owner
of high school, the high school buddy, wasn't he?
He was a high school buddy. Yeah. He was our linebacker and,
linebacker. You know, wow.
Yeah. He was our inside linebacker.
Small linebacker.
No, he was not small by any means. he was one of those tough motherfuckers that was playing out there. So. But yeah, let's go back to Josh's episode where Josh in that episode, episode 13, Josh talked about how he managed and leveraged the younger generations, particularly the millennials. So Josh is a Gen X, and how he leveraged the millennials and the coaching that he offers them to help build them up.
Yeah. He doesn't run his business. He is in charge of his business. He is not running his business. He
That's
is
right.
delegated, and he has allowed the decisions. He's not only delegated, he's allowed the decision-making to go with that delegation.
Correct.
So that they're not coming back to him to be, well, what should we do next? What should we do next? So he's given them the accountability and the responsibility to do things. And I happen to be at a Muskie show here in Wisconsin over, I don't know what it was, sometime in March. And his aqua traction stuff was there at one of the dealers
right
on the floor. I'm like, oh, this is some really good stuff, dude. So his business, the aqua traction advanced marine flooring, is fantastic. It is a awesome, awesome product. And I got to figure out if he's so Josh, if you're listening to this show, if you could spiff me a coupon of some sort for, you know, some sort of discount code so we can order something, that'd be freaking awesome, man. Because
that marine material will be going in my smoker craft here shortly. So looking forward to it.
So yes, he is just being able to trust, put people in position to be successful at a young age and allow them to come in and allow them to make the mistake and allow them to do those things. And you kind of let them go through the way he was brought up. It wasn't about perfection. It was about taking accountability for your actions.
Yep.
And bringing solutions, not talking about, well, you did this wrong. You did this wrong. Okay. It's wrong. We're here. Let's make sure we fix it and not have it happen again. So episode 13 was a long time ago.
It was,
you know, so that was a lengthy time, but he is still to this date, our most listened to episode.
I know.
So he put those millennials in action to go get him some opportunity to get that show listened to and downloaded. And
he's still crushing it. So kudos to Josh out there.
Absolutely. And that show, let's see, episode 13. So that was September 3rd of 2021 that we were able to get a guest in there. So that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you got next in your memory trip down memory lane on this episode 100 here?
So one of the guys that we were able to meet, and I don't remember where it came from. So Daniel Felt from Kura Homes.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So he's been on the show 3 times now, yep. I believe, possibly 4, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, 3, 4. Yep. We had him on episode 36 for sure. And then we had him on he brought in one of his younger directors of operation with him in episodes 59 and 61, I believe it was.
Yep.
And I just talked to him recently because he's now launched a social media business to support the Kura Home models that he's going with. And so for me, that first show when he came on and we asked him, if you recall, he's very competitive with his brother.
Yes, he is.
And that competition with his brother is really, really critical and important. And one of the things that he said unsolicited, without any hesitation, that the only reason he was where he was in relationship to his brother was because mm-hmm. he decided to go seek support from somebody and not just do it alone.
Correct.
Find the help, find the support, find the coach, find the mentor, find the whatever in order to keep pace with his brother. And when I talked to him last month, from an total asset perspective, he's probably mm-hmm. slightly behind, but from a business, each one of their day-to-day businesses, he's mm-hmm. probably got him edged out right now because, which was fantastic. But that dude had so much energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I found very interesting is when we talked to him, I believe the second time, and we talked about the workforce and what's going to happen. And he brought up he sees long-term workforce to be 2 or 3 gigs and prioritizing those 3 gigs from this part-time job I'm going to do all the time. This one is going to be this one and prioritize them in sequence and not have the 9 to 5, 8 to 3 full-time job, one company, because they like the younger generations are liking that diversity, like doing something different. I want to be outside and doing things. So I'll work at Kura Homes part-time, but I like being a bartender at night once in a while to have that interaction. And I like Ubering or DoorDashing or whatever, and doing all those other things. So that was very, very insightful. And since he's made mention of that, I've got several clients that are witnessing that in their own business right now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, how do we deal with that?
Yeah.
Well, we got to work on changing your mindset and expectations as the business owner.
Yep.
And get them to accept it and make sure that it's okay to have part-time employees and not just, well, you're my employee and I got to wrap you up nice and tight and keep you all to myself.
Yeah, exactly. You're my employee. You're going to be my employee between the hours of 8 and 4. And I'm going to also have a say in what you do after hours. And those days are gone, right? People have other interests. And when people leave the place of work, you know, their chances are they're working on something else that they like, their passion project. Maybe, you know, they're working at your place of business to support their passion project, because your place of business isn't, you know, it provides the mission, which is the money, to support the passion project until the passion project starts to make the money to support the mission and the passion.
Correct. And you as a leader, in at least in my opinion, when I work with my clients and their leadership team, your job as a leader is to allow people to become the best possible person they can be.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide to leave your organization, that should be a good thing, because if your organization can't support their growth, they should go out and seek other opportunity to help them grow and move forward. And Daniel's been 100% on board with that, going through his opportunity. And he's got a couple licensees in place already. So he's killing it. I'm so grateful to have him as part of my network and being able to talk to him about other things off and on as well. So that came out of the show. And those relationships are really, really, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. Which has been really cool. So one of the other guests that really still to this day, I'm more enamored with how they actually their hiring process and what are they doing to help educate people in their community? And that was Matt Goosey at MRS Machining. Just their whole process for bringing in the younger generation to help understand that, you know, working in a CNC shop, a machine shop, is not as dirty as people make it out to believe. And you can have a sustainable career and career growth, not just a career, but a career growth within the business. And it was just phenomenal for him to share what they are doing differently. And that was back in episode 41, back in December of 22.
Right. And his recruiting process, his shop tours, his engagement in the local community, his, and he just posted on LinkedIn a little bit ago, you know, during the NCAA tournament,
yes,
that he's reffing basketball as well. Him reffing basketball and football gets him insight into these kids and understanding their makeup and their drive and their motivation so that he can recruit appropriately to come into his organization to fulfill a role and a need, and understanding the behaviors of that young person ahead of time to put and assemble a team together is a strategy that he is just killing it with. And when he sent us the same gift box that he sends out to all the students with the t-shirt and the pen and the candy bar and whatever that was that he put in there, I still have my MRS Machining shirt I wear out around here. And we're like, where'd you get that? Nope. Got that from a guest on the podcast.
Yep. Yep. My wife is like, who's Mrs. Machining? And I was like, that's MRS.
Oh, I wish we would have said that when he was on the show.
I know, right?
who's Mrs. Machining?
Yeah. She had her crinkled nose. What are you talking about?
Also part of that show, he made it very clear that he decided to share profits with these young, with everybody on a younger side of it.
Yes.
And that created opportunity to get that buy-in and engagement, even though it's not always about the dollars and cents. It is, how do I make that and bring out that energy and support their higher education opportunities as well? Instead of just going to the 4-year degree, the OTJ on the job training, that stays with you for life.
Right.
You know, think about, hey, our listeners right now, all the listeners that have gone to school, had the 4-year degree, maybe you've got a master's, maybe you've got the PhD. How much of that stuff that are you using every day?
Right.
Other than to say that you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. And there's the book smarts and street smarts. And there are, don't get me wrong, there are many professions that you have to have that education. I do not want my doctors, I do not want my engineers winging it, you know, AKA all the shit Boeing is going through right now. We don't need to be winging things.
Right.
in our designs and engineering activity. You know, so, but yeah, Matt in his process and his recruiting process was phenomenal. He was high energy, just a great dude. His picture he sent me that he sent us though that we used on the episode though, I'm like, dude, you look like one scary MRFer. What are you doing? That's not who you are. I mean, what did you do? Who talked you into that headshot anyhow?
That's funny. You know, and
Mrs. Machining, that's hilarious.
I know, right? And through those conversations with Matt, we got introduced to another great guest on the show. And
yes,
yeah, that would happen to be episode 67 with our friend Dave
from Edgerton Gear. In fact, I just connected him with a future guest of ours.
Yep.
With his Craftsman of, what's the program called? Something Craft. What is it? Craftsman with Character program. Yes. Mm-hmm. Just made that connection with somebody else that's looking to do some stuff out in North Carolina and build some things. And having him as a resource and being part of that trades that he can figure out how to potentially expand and replicate what he has done to create that opportunity for young people, re-educating folks, coming back into the workforce, whatever it might be. Those connections never happen without this show.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Which is absolutely amazing, right? Just we never would have, you know, when we were brainstorming and him and Han about the show, that was never even a topic that we talked about or thought would ever happen. And here it is happening just based on what the show's done for not just our clients, but for each other, for themselves, right?
Right. Here, go talk to someone. Hey, I need something. Oh yeah. Talk to so-and-so and here you go. And this and that. And just the opportunity from the no like, share, post, comment activity right on LinkedIn, just being connected on social networks, connecting with others. So, you know, we're going to get to Andrew Brown here next, but that's how we met Mr. Scott, the guy out in Portland doing the weld teaching, who was just on the show a few weeks ago because he was on commenting in different, oh, you're a cool dude. Let's talk to you and find out more. And the show has just opened up so many opportunities to connect and network and educate in such a way that I never even thought was possible.
I know, right? And you know, that leads us to our next guest that kind of it left an impact with me, is Andrew Brown, episode 57.
Yeah, I was so bummed I was unable to make that show because that dude is so high energy and so passionate and just 100% content creator all the time, every time. And it is, I don't know, he's got that much. I don't know if I've seen anybody with as much passion as he does for creating that opportunity.
Yeah. And his whole thing, how it started, right? That's what drew me in, was how it started right at 9/11, being there at ground zero for him and seeing what it took, and then truly diving into the trades and helping to educate people on the sheer need for the trades and being very crystal clear about why or why not to go to college.
Right.
Right. For parents, and it was, the message wasn't just for parents, it's for kids too. But correct, it's the message is truly aimed at the parents that are talking negatively about the trades. And that, you know, we can't just educate the kids. We have to educate the system itself, the entire system, which is our parent, which is the parents. It's the school systems. It's getting with the trade associations and helping them understand that, hey, you can't just say post up and have a, you know, job fair and stuff. People aren't going to it. You have to get in and get in front of the kids in some fashion, way or fashion, and not just in front of the kids. You have to bring the parents in as well.
Correct.
And not at a high school age. You have to do it younger.
Yes. You need to get, it needs to go backwards into that middle school, elementary school area, you know, and that's, and we didn't talk about this pre-show, but that brings up Josh Page, right? The electrician from out East, that's got his three electrical organizations with three different brands.
Right.
And, you know, he got invited to his, you know, his kid's school and had to go talk about, you know, career day and those types of things, which led him into writing the book about what does your daddy do? And all those other things. And his businesses have created the opportunity to give back and have that philanthropy and go forward. And those are some of the things I think that I'm grateful we've been able to share, is how some of these organizations are giving back to their community and what they're doing and what their greater purpose is.
Right.
Nobody thinks about, well, you know, they're just the electrical place. They're just the plumber. They're just the weld shop. They're just that. No, they support families and then they give back to communities through many different ways along the way. And it gets forgotten about because we're only looking at, right? It's, I don't know when the show comes out. I think in mid-May roughly is when that is. Yep. So we're going to get into head in the political season and it's going to be all about the big things, all about the big things. And at the end of the day, most of the US GDP is on family business.
Yes.
And it's on businesses that are running anywhere between, you know, 600 to $4-6 million in top line revenue. Mm-hmm. That's what makes this country work, not
right.
You know, not Exxon or Mobil or, you know, Caterpillar. Yes, Caterpillar is big. They worldwide, those worldwide organizations, they support a lot of things, but the trickle down effect, Caterpillar and those large OEMs are not who they are if we don't have the family businesses around to support them.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
Right. The big three, the automotive world does not survive without family businesses behind them to make that work, because the automotive industries, the large OE, agricultural OEMs, et cetera, they did not invest. They've stopped investing in vertical integration because they can't afford to do everything on their own. They are experts at design and distribution. Mm-hmm. So do your design and distribution and find others to be the experts in other areas. And that's where these family businesses and small business owners that we love talking to find their niche.
Right. And then, so that brings us to...
So that was a rant. Sorry, I apologize.
No. That's good, because we were down to, the last few people that we talked about pre-show being in that family business, whether it's they're the first generation of their group, right? And we've got Patrick Robertson, who happens to be extremely, we'll say extremely younger.
Correct. I recall I believe he was millennial.
He's a younger millennial.
Right at the tail end of the millennial, very close to Gen Z, if I recall.
He's a younger millennial, but he is crushing it in that high-end remodeling space. And oh, by the way, he's moving.
He's now in Frisco, Texas, killing it down there.
And he is truly just an ambitious individual with a large growth mindset, but really understands that it's okay not to be the smartest person in the room and to really leverage the team. And he has been extremely successful at that, being younger and just crushing the high-end home renovation space.
Right. I remember talking to him about, how does that feel going into these high-end homes, historic renovations?
Right.
You're trying to talk about them and you're 28, 29, 30 years old or whatever, I forget his actual age, but in that under 30 crowd, how did they look at it? He goes, well, I've been doing it with my family since I've been like 12, so I can talk about these things. And leveraging that family business opportunity to pay attention and go forward and understand gives him that opportunity. And if he doesn't know it, he's not out there to bullshit anybody,
right,
to say, and think he's the expert. He's going to tell them, I don't know, and I'll find the person that does know and we'll take care of it.
Right.
And that's a huge... I wish there were more boomers and Gen Xers that would take that approach,
right,
instead of trying to cover their ass all the time of, well, I made the mistake, now I got to figure out how to get out of it. And then this, all the different pileups of errors, if you would just fix it on the front end, we wouldn't have, a year, 2 years or decades of all these things because you didn't want to admit you were wrong on something.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And but Patrick, he was cool. I love watching his stuff on LinkedIn on the Frisco, Texas market. And I just saw something on a survey somewhere. It's one of the top 10 largest growing communities in the U.S. right now. Mm-hmm. So he picked a good spot to go.
He did.
Working on renovation and real estate things.
That he did.
So. Yeah. And then our last one that we have here, he's a fellow Detroit guy. And
he is.
I forgot. I want to say we got connected through, let's see here, the construction communication guy.
Yeah.
Ron Nussbaum. That's how we got connected to him.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
That matter was through Ron.
Yeah. BuilderComs.
BuilderComs. Correct.
Yep.
But yes, Matt was so cool and so upfront. He's got his own show. I was talking to our producer earlier this week. She's like, are you getting on other people's shows like Matt's show? And I said, well, Matt's talking to people that are swinging hammers and doing the thing and laying the pipe and running the wires. And stop being 12 right now, Steve.
You're reading my mind. I'm like, I'm being 12 right now.
They're digging the trenches. They're doing all the things. And, but Matt was... it's not all about the money. It's not all about those things. And he gets the fact that it is Maslow's hierarchy of needs and the sense of purpose and community and belonging. And yes. What are we doing and what are we making? And we're not just building a house or building a building. We're creating commerce. We're creating an opportunity for people to go places and do things and be part of an event space or whatever it is that you're building out. He's been able to transition that and make that into something fantastic. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's just, it blows my mind as we reflect on these different guests that we've had, and we can't even highlight everyone that we've had on the show because there's just been so many people that we've had so far, but just the impact that everyone that we've had on the show has, and not just in their community, but with their business, with their relationships with people. It's just been phenomenal to hear about, share about, and really learn from.
Right. And then the other piece that's been, now we're a small show. We have a small but mighty audience, you know, our tens of listeners that are out there on a regular basis, right?
It's more than tens, but very humble.
We're in multiples of tens. I agree. But when we look at the worldwide impact, and we know that you have a network from your past career in India, and to see that we have a consistent following of folks in India, to see that we've got a consistent following of some folks in Germany, we've got a consistent folks of in Brazil. We have some consistency going on in Russia as of late. Canada has stepped up to be our number two country of origin, but we've been listened to in 56 different countries.
It's amazing.
Around the world, all over Europe.
Yeah.
The part that's still pissing me off is that freaking Vermont and Delaware. It's like, hello, hey guys, hashtag Vermont. You know, you need people out there too. And why can't our first state of the country just one play? Somebody go across the border and just download it once. You not have an IP address, just so we can say we've been listened to in all 50 states.
Right.
Somewhere. Could somebody do that? Can somebody phone a friend Delaware and Vermont and make that happen for us? Just so we can have those 50 states covered. Please, somebody.
Shameless plug.
Right. Shameless plug. You know, that would be fantastic. But yeah, the global reach, the opportunity, the reach outs from people wanting to be on the show that are out here to try to leverage our platform for doing good to keep the industry has just been fantastic. So I am blessed that we've been able to do 100 shows with together, and you've been able to stick it out and wanting to stick it out. You know, recording on Friday afternoons isn't always the best thing in the world sometimes.
Right.
And we've been able to find it, create the process, stick to it, and be consistent. And thank you for being a willing participant to go down this journey with all the things you do for the show, Steve. I am truly grateful.
I know you say that somewhat jokingly because we know how much I do or not do with the show, but there's going to be some things coming up that, thank you for, you know, being the cattle prod to help push the overthinker in me along and, just say, we're just doing it. And, so now I'm looking forward to actually what's coming up next. So thank you.
Correct. Somewhere come out there probably around episode 115-ish, 120-ish. I would expect there's going to be some changing. We'll see some things happening. We'll see some other activity and some continued additional growth. The best part about watching the growth numbers, though, is the floor continues to rise.
Yep, which is great. It's phenomenal.
It's a slow and steady process. When we first started the show, we weren't looking for the millions of downloads of people who don't care.
Right.
We want to make sure that we are targeting and talking to a very select audience where there is actually impact that be made. Now, what we talk about is universal across all industries.
Right.
It's just that we want to stay in that blue collar world of being able to talk shit and make things happen and have fun people that make really cool things come on, share their story and how they grew up in an industry where maybe it wasn't always the best. Maybe it wasn't always the best thing in the world where it came through. And, you know, now they want to treat somebody else like you can't treat people that way anymore and go through that. And just being able to get those stories out there for people to hear
Yeah.
and create that has been phenomenal. So thank you again, Mr. Doyle.
Yeah. Thank you, Brett, for everything that you've done for the show. Cause you've done more than most people would, period. So thank you.
We are in a mighty small percentage of shows getting to episode 100.
Right.
And I don't even know what that is. I don't even know what that percentage is. Let's do the old Google machine. What
percent? We're going to do that live on the air. All right.
Podcasts make it to episode 100. 90% of the podcasts don't even publish more than 3 episodes. Let's see. 11% of the podcasts make it to 50 episodes. You would think that would be an easy one to find, but apparently that's a stupid question there on the old Google machine. 90% of lower income podcasters have published less than 100 episodes versus 74% of the higher income income podcasters have published over 100 episodes. I don't know what that means, but I don't know. We made a milestone, so it's all good. And I've got
awesome.
So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
All right, episode 100. Here's on to episode 200 coming up faster than 100.
Yeah, it would definitely will. Well, thank you, Brett, for the journey, and looking forward to what's coming up next.
Awesome, sir. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.